good to have scripture memorized. It's even better to have a Bible in your hand. And so I encourage you to open up to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 to 18. 1 Thessalonians is kind of toward the back. If someone has the page number of the Pew Bible, then please shout it out. 1416, thank you, John. These are three of the shortest verses in Scripture, but they are so loaded with meaning. Again, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning in verse 16. And the first verse is, be joyful always. The second verse is, pray continually. If you need to memorize verses, I encourage you to memorize these. They're really short. And they mean a lot. The next one is give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Isn't that amazing? Three verses and we have all of God's will for us in Christ Jesus. That's so special. I think it's always good to remind ourselves to be joyful. The Apostle Paul tells us that a couple of times in the book of Philippians, rejoice. And again, I say rejoice and rejoice again, and so on and so forth. Here he only says it once, but he says be joyful always. Praying continuously is something that we need to learn, and we won't talk about that today. We'll leave that for another time, but we do want to talk about giving thanks in all circumstances. The first place that this leads me to is when I was a child. And I think that many, or hopefully most, or even all of you, were taught to say please and thank you. Children naturally say mama and papa or daddy or whatever. That comes easy. But learning to say please is a very difficult word. And learning to say thank you is sometimes even harder. And so we get those moments, you know, in the mall. There's the screaming going on and the parent kind of twisting the arm and says, what's the magic word? No, that's not the magic word, but we all know what the magic word is. As parents, we learn that it's a kind and courteous thing to do when we receive a present or some special attention. Thank you is the right thing to say. But I fear that sometimes in the moment we also forget it. Have there been times in your life where you've received a present and the person wasn't directly there and we just loved it and so on and so forth, and then sometime later, days, weeks, or whatever, I haven't even said thank you for this present. As Canadians, we're a little special. Before getting off the bus, we say thank you to the bus driver and little things like that, just thoughtful thank yous or excuse me or sorry. But then there's that other side of us. I grew up in a German family and also spent most of my career in Germany. And there's a real hardcore German proverb that says, Zahl dei Sach, dann musst du nicht bedanken, which means, pay for your stuff and you won't have to thank anyone. And sometimes this is very reflective of our personality, right? We want to stand up straight. We want to be proud. We don't want to humble ourselves and say thank you because it lifts the other person up. And we have to become a little bit humble when we say thank you. And so in order not to do that, we just pay the bill and we don't have to say thank you. But then there's giving, there's saying thanks, and there's giving thanks. Giving thanks sometimes happens with cards. And I know that when I was growing up, it was done a lot more often than it seems to be done nowadays. Maybe it's something that we should pick up again. I don't know, but there's something different when we receive a thank you card than if someone just says, oh, thanks. Giving thanks with a card. Others give thanks in different tangible ways. One of the ways in which our culture almost mandates this is in tips. Some restaurants even have it on the bill, so you don't have a chance. But again, I think seeing this from a Christian perspective may allow us to ask some personal questions. How do I tip when I'm in a restaurant? Would someone recognize me as a Christian by the cheapness of my tip? Or by the generosity of my tip? Or by the way I connect and seek eye contact when I say thank you? Some people love giving gifts. And that's always a special thing too, when someone says thank you with a gift. Well, that's kind of... But then we think to ourselves, is there a catch? If I get this gift, am I expected to, you know? And so, there's that wariness. In some cultures, it's very, very strong. There is an attachment and an expectation. Saying thanks is one thing. Giving thanks is another thing. And the Bible tells us to give thanks in all circumstances. Of course, when that gift we receive is something expensive, giving thanks is a joy. We're not going to give thanks with the same amount of cash but we can say a generous thank you. Then there's gifts that come as they're expected. There's birthdays and Christmas and stuff like that. And we all kind of know, so-and-so gave me something last year, I got to give them something this year kind of stuff, you know. And those kind of thank yous are kind of, yeah, they're kind of there, but they're not really that big, are they? But then we have situations where the last thing we want to do is say thank you. Riyadh was in Frankfurt a couple of years during her career, and those were years of unemployment. Some of you have the fortune of, you know, studying, getting your diploma, getting a job, having 9-to-5s and so on and so forth. But living the life of an artist is something else. It means that you sometimes have one-off contracts and then nothing. Sometimes you have longer contracts and then nothing. And sometimes you're lucky enough to have a string of contracts and then nothing. But when this nothing hits, we never know how long it will last. And so we hunker down because we got to get ready for the worst, right? And so when this nothing hits, we're thankful that we live in societies where there's, you know, an unemployment check that comes and so on and so forth. But when all of a sudden Riyadh's unemployment check no longer came, And she goes to the unemployment office and says, my name is such and such, and I have been receiving unemployment checks. I'm entitled to unemployment checks, and it didn't come in. And the person goes and says, well, let me find out what's happening, and comes back and says, we don't even have you on file. You don't exist for us. Why don't you go home and leave us alone? Then we enter into something which normally is called depression. Depression is very, very real. It hits us when we least expect it. We know that things go a certain way, and we trust, you know, that government officials take care of our documents, and that things will be handled the same for everybody. But when that unexpected happens, it hurts. And we don't know where we're supposed to scratch the money together for the next meal, the next rent that is due at the beginning of the next month. And so when that cycle of depression hits, we go deeper and deeper and deeper. And something happened. And I'd encourage you to ask Riyadh about that herself. I'm just going to be giving you this secondhand, where she discovered something. She discovered thankfulness. Here's all the stuff that I don't have, but there are things that I do have. I have health. I could be in the hospital. I actually do have an apartment, and they haven't kicked me out yet. I have a brother who's kind enough to lend me some money to kind of make it through. And I have reasons to be thankful. And once this thankfulness sets in, friends, that's when we leave behind depression. It will always try to get at us, that thankfulness is so powerful that medicine just can't do the same. I think when we take a look at Scripture, we need to remind ourselves that we have a God who created the universe, created each and every one of us, who sustains the universe. Friends, this is really important. God sustains the universe. He is not what the theists tell us, someone who created the universe, put the whole laws into motion, and disappeared. Said, I'll come back at the end of time and see how you're all doing. For now, it's yours. No. God is here. He sustains the universe. He knows all of our needs. And because He knows all of our needs and loves us, we can come to Him. Not only that, recognizing that everything comes to Him also needs to put us into a place where we recognize that actually all belongs to Him. The job we have is not something we quote-unquote earned. And especially in times that are difficult, and we realize that for these young people sitting here, getting a job is not something that they can expect to have once they graduate. Jobs aren't there just waiting for us. A neighbor of ours graduated with honors as an engineer from UBC this spring. Even before he graduated, he'd done co-ops and had done the schmoozing and was you know, just talking to managers and lining up things. No job. Interviews, yes. Don't call us, we'll call you. Have we heard that before? Months later, finally, we get the good news that he received the job. And of course, as friends of his, we were praying and we gave thanks to God for this job because we knew that only God can open doors. Only God makes these things possible. And so every paycheck that comes is a gift from him. Our shelter is a gift from him. And if we recognize that 100% of what we're privileged to have is from God, how much is 90% of that? That's almost everything. But do we have a problem giving him that 10%? It's 100% that's his anyways. I also think that one of the difficulties that I have, and I see a lot of other people have, is that our eyes tend to be kind of on this level or on this level. Some of you might know that about 3 years ago, in an amazing, unexpected answer to prayer, the Lord placed a sign in my life. And this sign has to do with a responsibility on my part to go and pick up leftover bakery items every day, 7 days a week. And so I pick them up and they go to food banks, they go to Regent College. You don't believe how many students love to see me come with those bags. There's Bible studies and all kinds of other places that love receiving pastry that's, you know, free. And very often they'll look for, well, where did they come from? Well, I said, they come from the bakery. Did you bring them? I said, yes. Do you own the bakery? I said, no. Well, how does this happen? Well, then I explained the story. Well, thank you. I said, no, you can't thank me. I'm not the one that baked them. I'm not the one that paid for them or anything. You need to thank God. I'm just the one that he calls to bring them. That's my job. Thank the Lord. Lift your eyes to the one who actually provides these things for you right here and now. I don't know how many of you take these home. There's still some more lying in the back, so please do that. On page 6, there's an article that I find quite inspiring. I won't read it all to you because I want you to read it at home. Thanks that comes from giving. I'll repeat that title of the article again. Thanks that comes from giving. Can thanks come from giving? Randy Barnetson begins with three statements. First, a discontented person thinks about what they don't have and is miserable. We probably know a few people in that category, and maybe some of us are sometimes in that category as well. A contented person thinks about what they do have and is thankful. I really hope that if you're not there yet, we can get you there today. But a truly blessed person thinks about how they can share what God has given them with others. We show our gratitude and thanksgiving to God by sharing what He has given. We can share with God only in prayer, right? We can speak to Him 24/7, anytime, what's on our hearts, and He's always there to listen. But He wants us to share the things that He's given us with others, to be a tangible way of showing love and blessing to others. Now here's a kicker. This is what Randy writes. I was blessed to listen to a friend at Alcoholics Anonymous meeting telling all of us gathered to celebrate his 10th year of sobriety. That's always worth celebrating. When he was drinking, he was broke all the time. Now that he is sober after 10 years, he's still broke all the time. The difference, he said, is now my kids have new shoes, the bills are paid, and we can invite people over to share meals. Isn't that beautiful? Still broke all the time, but not so broke that we don't have to give. To give to our family, to give to others, and to share what we have. A lifestyle of giving takes living a life of simplicity, says Randy. And simplicity is the way of Jesus, a road where faith and peace commune with contentment and trust, where our desire for things is left behind, and we can walk forward weightlessly and joyfully, knowing we already possess everything that is truly valuable. Maybe this Thanksgiving is a moment for us to pause and say, could I do with less? There's a book that Ria discovered a while ago. It's called Seven. It's a journey of a pastor's wife who decides to get a bunch of her girlfriends together and to challenge herself and ask them to be accountable, and they end up also joining in on this seven journey. And so they discuss seven major issues in their life that they feel they should probably address. One of them is food. Could we do with less food? The answer was yes. Okay, so let's make a list of seven things that we will restrict ourselves to and make sure we cut out the bad things and keep in the good things. And then the next one was clothing. Could we do with less? Whoa, that was a big one. I'm not going to go into the details. I want you to read the book, but it's quite amazing. It goes on and on. Friends, when we read church history, we read of Christians in the first and second centuries fasting. Now, fasting is a spiritual discipline that Jesus did, that prophets did, that Jews did, that Christians did all the time. But the fasting that these Christians did had another meaning. When they recognized that there was a problem, drought, a family afflicted with disease or something, They fasted and gave their food to that family. This is an example that other Christians have lived out. And friends, what happens when a non-Christian family keeps getting food from another family that really doesn't have very much and is giving the food that they would normally be eating? Questions start coming up. Why? Why me? Why? And then we can share. Why? Because Jesus came and gave everything. God so loved the world that he gave his only son so that we would not have to perish but have eternal life. How much giving is that? And how small is this in comparison? Friends, we want you to receive eternal life. That's the greatest gift that we can give you. But we can't give it. You need to receive it. It's God that gives it to you. We're reminded of Jesus, who said that if you don't receive the kingdom as a little child. Thank you, Alexandra, for reminding us. There's another thing that for me gets us to a place of great difficulty, where I feel that we as Christians can make a difference in thanksgiving as well. We know that everyone is created in the image of God. But we know that some of these images of God don't live like an image of God. And they abuse, they become violent. And I had a boss like that. When stuff wasn't going so good for him, the way he treated others was to abuse them. He called me into his office. I was his favorite victim. And he would accuse me unjustly of stuff. I was at fault for everything that was wrong. Everything. And what happened is that I couldn't say anything against it. He was the boss. And so I started to get depressed. It got so bad, friends, that I one day resolved that if this isn't going to stop, I am going to go to the psychiatric ward and ask them to lock me up. Anyone that has been depressed knows at what point I was at. That's not a good place to be, and I hope that none of you ever were there or need to go there. But something amazing happened. God came into my life. I was connected to a high school friend of mine who happened to be living in Italy. Got to see him. He gave me new hope. I took a year off work and went to New York. Amazing things happened, and I was a changed person. But before that year was up, I got a call back from the theater I was working at. We need you to come back now. I said, but I'm busy with stuff here. Well, no. How soon can you be here? Well, so I worked things out and came back. And now again, I had the same boss. And so it didn't take very long, you can imagine. Is he coming into my office? And we need to go into the office. And the same staff. You're the one that messed it all up for us. But I had been changed. I was not the same person anymore. And so I looked him in the eyes and said, "Thank you." And I looked him in the eyes and I said, "Thank you." And the louder he got, the quieter I got, but I kept saying, "Thank you." And he realized that there was nothing he could do to grind me into the ground like he was always doing that before. I was a different person. And I had nothing to lose. I knew that my God would take care of me. If he wants to fire me for saying thank you, not a problem. The Lord will provide for me. I'm not worried. I don't need to take this. And then there's one more thing that really hit me this time around when I was preparing for Thanksgiving, and it's been a little short preparation. Some of you know that I was asked on Friday if I could jump in for Pastor Vic. But what I love doing is I love going to my Greek Bible. And so when I took a look at this verse 18, what jumped at me was the word in Greek for thanks, which is Eucharisto. Our word for Lord's Supper, Eucharist, comes from that Greek word. And it's got two meanings in English, but only one meaning in Greek. The one meaning in English is thanks, and the other meaning is blessing. There's only one way to say thanks and blessing in Greek, and you use the same word. When we say thanks to God, we bless God. That's what Scripture tells us. When we say thanks to others, we bless them. Does this mean something to us? If I say thank you with a blessing, I think that's something that can only come from someone who has been blessed. I think we need to live lives that show others, by what we say, by what we do, that we are different. That we can say thank you in circumstances where others would never dream of using the word. That we can take Scripture and say, yes, this word is true. When Scripture says give thanks in all circumstances, it's not telling us to do something impossible. It is telling us to do the possible with the help of God Himself, who gives us the strength to look at those abusive people in the eyes and say thank you. I will not let myself be abused by you anymore. It's because God loves you. And He knows what you're doing, and He knows what's in your heart. But He also wants to forgive you and change you and transform you the way He's transformed me. Would you allow me to share that hope with you? We don't need to continue this cycle of abuse. And so, friends, I don't know where you're at today with Thanksgiving. My prayer is that it's not a turkey. My prayer is that it's not having lunch with everyone downstairs afterwards. My prayer is that we ask the Lord point to those areas in our life where we need to be thankful. Where He wants us to be people that make a difference because of our thankfulness. Is that going to have a difference in our prayer life? Philippians 4. We all know what it says. Philippians 4 says, rejoice, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. By prayer and petition means, please, 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 God, with thanksgiving. Thanks, Lord. How different is my prayer life going to be when it's not only please God, but thank you. I know that all things are possible for you. And I'm giving you thanks right now. Because I want you to answer this prayer in your way, in your time. If my prayer was not in your will, scrap it. I want it your way. So I think thanksgiving has something to do with all aspects of our lives. And of course, the ultimate thanksgiving is when we offer ourselves as living sacrifices and allow the Lord to use us as He chooses to be the salt and the light in this very dark and gritty world. Father, we thank you that you are the reason for the season. You are the reason for Thanksgiving, that the pilgrims back in the 17th century wanted to show their indigenous neighbors what thankfulness means to them and invite them to their table. Father, we recognize that we have not always been thankful. We haven't been thankful in every situation because we've allowed ourselves to get in the way. We've allowed the world to get in the way. And we ask that you would change us, that you would transform us, that you would forgive us for not living up to your expectations, and ask that you would give us eyes that see you as the giver of all good gifts, eyes that see you as the creator of people that don't live the way you want them to, but are still made in your image and for whom Christ died on the cross. Father, as we move from Thanksgiving to Christmas, would you allow us to be thankful people in the way we pray, in the way we treat others, and the way we speak. Let our words be seasoned with your love and grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand up and sing the last song together, and then